Mubarak for you is my prayer. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madinah Channel, and we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, O people, without doubt, the one to attain salvation quickly on the day of judgment from its horrors and its accountability will be the one amongst you who will recite his salat upon me in abundance in this world. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, we said it many times before, but please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In this particular incident, we mention here that the one who recites Durood-e Pak in abundance. And the scholars, the pious predecessors, have said that if you attain a target of reciting Durood-e Pak 313 times, a minimum of 313 times a day, then insha'Allah azza wa jalla, you'll be counted amongst those people who recite Durood-e Pak, who recite Salat in abundance. So please make a habit. Again, many, many times in our lives, we have times where we are waiting for things to happen. We're waiting for the bus, we're waiting for the taxi, we're waiting for a job, we're waiting for a customer, we're waiting to see the doctor, we're waiting for all of these things. And this waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways to utilize that time is to send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And who knows, my dear viewers of Madhi Channel, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. So please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. Viewers of Madhi Channel, it is narrated that a person came to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he said that in the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam brought the Nubuwwat and introduced Islam to the people, he said that we were idol worshippers. And he said that we would kill, astaghfirullah, we would kill our own children. He said, I had a daughter who would get happy when I called her. One day I called her, so she followed me happily. We reached a well nearby. Grabbing her hand, I threw her into the well. Father, father, she cried, tearfully. But I returned. Listening to this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moved to tears. And he then said, Islam removes the sins committed in the era of ignorance. In another hadith, a person said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever since I've become a Muslim, I've been blessed with the sweetness of Islam. And in the era of ignorance, I had a daughter. I ordered my wife to beautify the daughter by dressing her in her fine clothes. I then took her with me to a deep pit. As I was about to throw into the pit, she anxiously started crying and she said, Father, are you killing me? But I threw her into the pit, paying no attention to her weeping and her wailing. The person then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the sentence of my daughter, are you killing me, occurs to me, I become anxious and I do not enjoy anything. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam removes the sins committed in the era of ignorance, whereas istighfar removes the committed sins by a Muslim in the state of Islam. Viewers of the channel, istighfar means making dua of forgiveness. Dua is made for the forgiveness of both minor and grave sins. Therefore, if Allah azza wa jalla wills, He may answer the prayer with His mercy, forgiving all minor and major sins. However, about common deeds, Muhaddiseen and Islamic scholars have clarified that grave sins are forgiven by repentance only. As for the excellence of other deeds, wherever there is good news for of the forgiveness of sins, it refers to the forgiveness of only minor sins. Another such incident occurred was Sayyidina Qais bin Asim radiallahu ta'ala humbly said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, during the era of ignorance, I buried my 8 daughters alive. The noblest and the holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, free one slave for each. He humbly said, I have camels. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want, you can sacrifice one camel on behalf of each. Viewers of Madhi channel, you've just heard, these are just three incidents that happened regarding the inhuman practice of burying daughters alive during the pre-Islamic era of ignorance. At that time, people did not believe, or they used to think that daughters were a burden. And so, very few daughters actually survived. Some buried the daughters alive, some threw them in a well, some threw them in a pit. And this was the mindset at the time, that females, women, they were worth nothing. But then Islam came along, and Islam instilled in us the value of our daughters, of our mothers, of our wives, and give them a status that in many places around the world that were only received many, many hundreds of years later. And so Islam restored and gave back the status to our sisters, our daughters and mothers, which is the two tiers that we all know. And we all know that the status of the mother is that mother, we are told that paradise lies at the feet of the mother. And so the two status returned. However, unfortunately, and it saddens me that we are making this speech today, that people unaware of Islamic teachers, some people have once again started considering the birth of a daughter something bad, and they are starting to demonstrate barbarism. This has resulted in the crime, in the heinous crime of, in some cases, murdering becoming the order of the day. In some cases, people have actually killed their own daughters when a daughter has been born in the household. In some cases, when they do a scan and they find out that the daughter or the child that is about to be born is a female, then they abort the child at that time. And I'm just going to give you some instances, and maybe I just want to basically let the viewers know that some of these instances that I am going to mention to you now may disturb you a little bit. And that is not my aim today, to disturb you, but my aim today is to awaken you, make you realize that, astaghfirullah, these things happen in our society. And some of these incidents that I'm going to mention here have been brought, you know, from the internet or from the news, etc., and I'm going to present them to you now. In one such article, it actually said that it has rekindled the memories of the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, that a person annoyed by the birth of the sixth daughter, the cruel father killed his 10-year-old daughter by drowning her in a water-filled tub. His wife protested, but he also killed her while she was still asleep. Later on, the murderer was arrested. In another article, it says that some weeks ago, exasperated by the birth of a daughter, a man burned his wife alive. Astaghfirullah. In another article, it says that a 25-year-old wife was burnt alive by her husband and in-laws due to the birth of a daughter. In another, it says, since both of them were in love with each other, they got married and were blessed by Allah Azza wa Jalla with a son and two daughters. After some time, the third daughter was born. Furious, the stupid husband battered his wife so badly that she passed out and was taken to hospital, where she succumbed to her injuries. In another one, a one-day-old baby girl was buried alive in a rural area of Punjab. A cruel father buried a one-day-old daughter alive. The police arrested him. Details revealed that the accused person had become the father of the sixth daughter. Giving a statement, the cruel father said that this daughter was ugly and with a distorted face. He had even asked the daughter to give her a poison injection, but the doctor refused, so he buried his daughter alive. Astaghfirullah. And now, the one that I'm going to relate to you, before I came here, obviously we prepared our bayans and we read these articles and we read all these, and this was the one that disturbed me the most. It stated that a person living in some area of Kashmir had five daughters and the sixth baby was due. One day he told his wife, if you give birth to another baby girl, I will kill you along with the newborn. On the third night of Ramadan in 2005, his wife gave birth to yet another girl. The cruel man, and I'm sorry viewers, but I have to tell you the actual things that happened. The cruel man, he put his cute little newborn girl into a pressure cooker alive, and he turned on the heat, ignoring the screams and the cries of his wife. Suddenly, it stated that the pressure cooker exploded and a horrifying earthquake occurred. All of a sudden, that barbaric man was buried alive. The injured mother of the girl was rescued, and the horrific incident was also probably disclosed by her. Viewers of Mother Channel, I apologize if as a result of reading out these articles, you know, it has affected you, but we need to be aware of the reality around us, that these things are happening around us. Islam, our beautiful religion of Islam, has bestowed the honor upon the daughter, enhancing her prestige. A Muslim is a humble bondsman of Allah Azza wa Jalla and is bound to carry out his commandments. One should be content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed him, whether it is a son or a daughter, or even if he has no children. If it is in your kismet, if it is in your destiny to have 10 sons, you will have 10 sons. If it is in your destiny to have 10 daughters, you will have 10 daughters. If it is in your destiny to have no children, you will have no children. But whatever Allah Azza wa Jal gives you, you should be happy with that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, verses 49 and 50. And I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. For Allah alone is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates whatever He likes. He bestows daughters on whomsoever He likes. And He bestows sons on whomsoever He likes. Or He couples both the sons and the daughter. And He makes barren whomsoever He likes. Undoubtedly, He is all-knowing, the all-powerful. Regarding the part of the 50th verse, i.e. makes barren whomsoever He likes, it is stated, viewers of Mother Channel, in Qazain al-Urfan, that they will have no children. He, Allah Azza wa Jalla, is omnipotent, and He distributes His bounties as He likes. He bestows whatever on whoever He likes. This was the case with the Honorable Prophets as well. Sayyidina Lut and Sayyidina Shu'ayb al-Islam had only daughters and no sons. Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam had only sons and no daughters. And the Noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with Allah with 4 sons and 4 daughters. So in each of these cases, they were blessed with different. Some were blessed with sons, some were blessed with daughters, some were blessed with sons and daughters. While mentioning in Khazan al-Irfan that the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 4 sons, there are different views in regard to this. In accordance to a verdict, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 3 sons, whereas one more verdict states that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 2 sons. It is stated on page 827 of Tazkiratul Anbiya that the greatest and holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 3 sons, namely Qasim, Ibrahim and Abdullah. Now keep in mind there were other names that people have mentioned when you read the books, Tayyib, Mutayyib, Tahir, Mutahir. These are appellations of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, that they were not his names, they were actually not names of any other sons. And Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that all historians have agreed that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 6 children. 2 sons, namely Sayyidina Qasim and Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala, and 4 daughters, Sayyiduna Zainab, Sayyiduna Ruqayya, Sayyiduna Umme Kulsoom, and Sayyiduna Fatima. But some historians have also stated that the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had one more son, namely Abdullah. Allahu Akbar. With regards to daughters specifically, if we look at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say about these daughters? Did he love his daughters? Did he respect his daughters? Because yes, he was blessed with daughters as well. Our viewers of the channel, if we want our role model, if we want our ideal example, then we should always turn to the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever aspect it is in our life. With regards to daughters, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said in one hadith that do not consider daughters bad. Undoubtedly, they are loving. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a daughter is born at the house of a person and he does not distress her, nor does he consider her bad, and nor does he prefer the son to the daughter, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will make that person enter paradise. On that note, viewers of Allah, I've been to places where I've seen that the male members of the family, they will eat first. They will eat the first and they will have the best morsels of meat, they will have the best bread, they will have the best salad, they will have the best fruit, and then whatever is left over, they give to the women of the household. This is not what Islam teaches us, viewers of Mother Channel. You know, our sisters, daughters, mothers, they're not there to have leftovers. They are there to be part of the family, to eat with us, grow with us, and we're supposed to love them as well. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is burdened with bringing up daughters and he treats them well, so these daughters, they will become a shield for him against the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. When a daughter is born at the house of a person, Allah azza wa jalla sends angels who come and say, "O people of this home, peace be upon you." Then the angels, they take the baby girl under the shade of their wings and stroking her head, they say that she is a weak being who has been born by a weak being. The one who takes the responsibility of bringing up this weak being, Allah azza wa jalla will help him till the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the one who has three daughters and he treats them well, heaven becomes wajib for him. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Mubarak, congratulations to you viewers. If you have three daughters and you bring them up well, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that heaven is wajib for you. He was humbly asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there are only two daughters?" The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even if there are two." And he was humbly asked, "Even if there is only one?" And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even if there is only one." So all fortunate brothers and sisters who are watching Madani channel right now, if Allah azza wa jalla has blessed you with a daughter, if Allah azza wa jalla has blessed you, and I will use the word blessed you with a daughter, if Allah azza wa jalla has blessed you with a daughter and you treat them well, then heaven, yes, the ultimate goal of every Muslim, heaven becomes wajib for you. Isn't that what we want to achieve? We have the keys to heaven in our own households. Our daughters are the key to paradise. Treat them well, and inshallah, azza wa jalla, heaven will become wajib for you. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate are those people that have daughters in the household? How fortunate are those people who bring up the daughters and look after them? How fortunate are those people that look after them and give them the love and the care that they deserve? In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who has three daughters or three sisters or two daughters or two sisters, and he then brings them up well and fears Allah azza wa jal regarding the matters, so heaven is for him. So viewers of Madhi channel, it's not just your daughters as well. If you have sisters and you look after them, you care for them, you help them, you assist them, you love them and you care for them, then inshallah azza wa jal, heaven is also for you. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who has three daughters or three sisters and he treats them well, he will enter paradise. You know, this is the formula for you, viewers of my channel. The criterion for you is laid there, that if you have daughters or you have sisters, look after them well, care for them well, then inshallah azza wa jal, paradise is guaranteed for you. In another hadith, the one who spends on, I provides for his two daughters or two sisters or two small girls of his relatives with the intention of reward until Allah azza wa jal makes them independent, i.e. they get married or they become wealthy or they die, they will become a shield for him against the fire. So not only your daughters, not only your sisters, but if you have nieces, nephews, cousins, distant relatives, and you care for them, you assist them, you financially support them and bring them up. All viewers of Madani channel that are living in the West, if you have relatives that have daughters and you help them, to provide them with the education that they need, to help them when they get married, to get them independent and standing under your feet, the reward is there, viewers of Madhi channel. But unfortunately, what do? If we are going to support our relatives, if we are going to support our families, we look at supporting the sons. We don't think about supporting the daughters and providing them with an education. We don't think about them, and on the day that they get married, whatever we've got, we'll give. If we haven't got it, never mind. And again, we see this, that many times when it comes to giving our wealth, we don't want it going out of the family. The inheritance of a daughter, we will not give it to her. The inheritance of a sister, we will not give it to her. And this is zulm, this is being cruel on them. And you will be held accountable for that on the day of judgment. If you withhold anything that is due to your daughters, if you withhold anything that is due to your wife, if you withhold anything that is due to your sisters, if you withhold anything that is legally due to them, according to Sharia, then you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. So all viewers of the channel, realize the status that Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to our daughters, to our sisters, to our mothers, to our nieces, to our female cousins, the status that they have gotten, the opportunities that we have. You know, as businessmen look for opportunities to make more money. Our deen has given us numerous opportunities to gain more rewards. But instead of gaining rewards, We shun them rewards, and instead of gaining them rewards, we gain sins. By not treating our daughters fairly, by not treating our sisters fairly. And as a result of that, we are gathering a huge burden of sins. On the day of judging, you will not be able to carry them, and you will realize the mistakes that you made whilst you were alive. It is stated that, you know, I'm going to give you an event now, that how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be with his own daughter. When Sayyiduna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala came to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would stand up and he would pay his attention to her. Then he would take her hand. Yes, he would take her hand in his own blessed hand, and he would kiss it, and he would seat her where he was sitting. Likewise, when he went to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, how she would stand up, and seeing him, she would kiss his blessed hand, take it in her own hand, and sit him where she would sit. Allahu Akbar. How many of us kiss our own daughters? How many of us kiss the hand or the forehead of our daughters? How many of us, you know, give that love to our daughters? Unfortunately, we don't. And many, many instances we've seen that our father, our mother has never given us any love, never given us a hug, never cared for us in that sense, never shown any love or affection to us. The only thing that we get from our parents is orders. Yes, our parents buy us clothes. Yes, our parents buy us shoes. Yes, our parents, you know, get us an education. Yes, our parents get us married. But they've never shown us love and affection. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala was the eldest daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And she was born in Makkah 10 years before the declaration of prophethood. And after the battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam called her from Makkah to Medina. And after she crossed the outskirts of Makkah whilst riding a camel with the intention of hijrat, unbelievers blocked her way. And a cruel unbeliever hurled a spear at her. And she fell from the camel and she had a miscarriage, i.e. the baby died inside the womb. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very grieved at this incident. And describing her superiority, the greatest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that amongst my daughters, she is superior in the sense that she suffered from such a great trouble whilst migrating to me. And in 8th Hijri, when Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala passed away, the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led her funeral salah, and he lowered her into the grave with his own blessed hands. And we see from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the love that he had for his daughters, the love that he had for his wife, the love that he had for them people that you know, looked after him when he was a baby, that fed him, that fostered him, his foster parents, the love that he showed for them as well. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went even further than that. He had the love for his granddaughters as well. It is stated that Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said that King Najashi gifted the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some jewelry, including a dark gemstone ring. The Prophet of Rahmah, he touched the ring with a stick or a blessed finger, and then he called his granddaughter. He called his granddaughter Umama radiallahu ta'ala, who was the beloved daughter of his elder daughter Sayyiduna Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, "Oh little girl, you wore it." Allahu Akbar. So this gemstone ring he gave to his granddaughter. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this is again shows to us the love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had even for his granddaughter as well. And again, I'm asking you a question. How much love do we show to our granddaughters? And again, in this particular case, this is a granddaughter, not through the son, but a granddaughter through the daughter, which again is a message for us. Many times we see people that they love the son's children, but they don't love the daughter's children. They love the son's son, and they might love the son's daughter, but they won't love the daughter's son or the daughter's daughter. Is this what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us? No, it's not, viewers of the channel. We need to read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll understand all our relationship. Today we are talking about the daughter, but if you read the seerah, you will realize how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated everybody that we will meet in our life, and we need to learn from that. Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala has said that a poor woman came to me with two daughters, and I gave her 3 days. She gave one date to each of them. She then divided the remaining date into 2 pieces, which she wanted to eat herself. But rather than eating herself, she gave it to both of her daughters. Allahu Akbar. I was really amazed to see what she did. And I mentioned to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how the woman had made the self-sacrifice. He said, Allah azza wa jalla has made paradise wajib for that woman because of this sacrifice of her. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sacrifice and self-sacrifice, again, is something that we need to learn. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who brings something new for his children from the marketplace is like the one who's making sadqat to them. And he should begin, listen to this, he should begin with the daughters, i.e. he should give the thing to the daughters first. He should give the thing to the daughters first. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has mercy on daughters. And the person who shows mercy and kindness to his daughters, and the person who shows mercy and kindness to his daughters is like the one who weeps in fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who pleases his daughter, Allah Azza wa Jal will please him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Regretfully nowadays, like I said, nowadays a large number of Muslims, what they do is they, you know, when the mother is expecting, they will get a scan of the child. And if they find that the scan is a female, it's going to be a daughter, then there have been instances where they will abort that child. One, it is a sin. Number two, you know, we've had so many instances. Science has even said that so many instances where they think it's a daughter ends up being a son. When they think it's a son, it ends up being a daughter. Second thing, and thirdly, viewers of my channel, we need to be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And this is where we make a mistake. We don't realize how lucky we are. And maybe later on in your lifetime, you will realize how fortunate you are. I want to give you a saying, viewers of my channel, that is a saying of this country here in the UK. I remember hearing it once, and I pondered over this saying many, many times, and I can see so much truth in it. The saying is such, it says that a son is a son until he gets a wife. A daughter is a daughter all your life. And if you look around you, the love and affection that a person will get from his daughter, he will not get from his son. And many times what happens is within our society is we look after our sons. We feed our sons extra. We provide our sons with extra education. And in the back of our mind, we're thinking to ourselves that, you know, if I look after my son today, if I give him a good education today, that when my son grows up and he gets a good job, then he will look after me. Look around you, viewers of my channel, and you'll see many, many instances where that is not the case. Where sons have grown up, they become doctors, lawyers, barristers, or whatever they become wealthy people. But when it comes to looking after parents, they're with their own family, their wives and their own children, and they forgot the father. Whereas the daughter, you know, the saying is that a daughter is a daughter all your life. And if you look around you, you see the truth in that. That the daughter will always have the love for the parents. There with the daughter, the son will, he wants his independence, he wants his own life, he wants his own house. Well, your daughter is your daughter all your life. Here's the main channel from today's very, very brief beyond. I want you to realize, and I hope that you realize from the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, and also the Quranic verse that we mentioned, that whatever you have been blessed with, it is in your destiny. You cannot change your destiny. You cannot take a tablet and have 10 sons and take another tablet and have 10 daughters. It is not like that. It is in your destiny. And so whatever happens in your destiny, the question is, are you happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon you? You know, and so what happens is we try to think that we can control our destiny. I cannot control how tall I am. Yes, I might be able to control my weight, but I cannot control how tall I am. I cannot control the day that I'm going to die. Whatever is in my luck regarding how many children I have, it is in my destiny. If it is in my destiny to have sons, I will have them. If it's not, I won't. And when it comes to your wealth, your money, whatever is in your destiny, you will get it. I'm talking about wealth. Whatever is in your destiny, you will get it. If it is in your destiny to become a millionaire, you will become a millionaire. The question is, will you become a millionaire through halal means or through haram means? Whatever is in your destiny, you will get it. But don't go down that destiny path and commit sins. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows upon you, be thankful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You do not realize how lucky you are. You're sitting here crying the fact that you have a daughter, whereas people around the world are losing their daughters. They haven't got the food or shelter. and the daughters are dying in their hands through thirst or hunger, or the fact that they don't have medicine for them children. You are fortunate, you're blessed with a daughter, you have an opportunity to bring up that daughter, to give them the food, the education, the health and everything. And inshallah, according to the saying of the Prophet of Allah, if you bring that daughter up properly, then inshallah, wajib, heaven becomes wajib upon you. Isn't that the greatest reward that we can have? So viewers of Madinah, please, you know, if we've learned one thing from today, then we need to learn from the fact that whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses us with, be it daughters, be it sons, be it wealth, be it poverty, be it hardship, then all of these things are a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we need to show patience. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla to give me and you the ability and the tawfiq to think about what I have said, to pass this message on to others as well, and to think about it and invite other people to watch this gathering. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
مبلغ فيوش ماي بريير مبلغ فيوش ماي بريير May you keep ascending success, save success